have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMCPodcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Nils Smith, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend from Southern California, Jay Cranda. Jay, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. I'm pumped to be talking to our friend Tony here. And before that, I wanted to, real quick, you're getting ready for a storm. I heard you guys, like, it's like 70 degrees here, but you guys are...
It's always 70 degrees here. We are looking forward to the blizzard of the century here in New York. DC is supposed to actually get hit. We'll find it by the time this podcast airs. We'll know, you know, and so I might be still shoveling at that point.
I'm going to be snapping you the temperature just over and over again. Filter. Yeah.
So let's talk about that for a minute before we jump into our conversation with Tony. You and I, you've been snapping a little bit more and engaging on Snapchat. Jay Cranda, right, on Snapchat.
Yeah.
Smith One. We'll put that in the show notes. I'm trying to build the Snapchat following. We're having fun. You enjoying it?
I like it. It's crazy. Our friend Sean is like a crazy snapper, and I realize in your social media. Haley at your church is crazy too. It's kind of like if you bug people on Instagram and Facebook with so much posts, it's like okay on Snapchat. Like it's just like you can just spam as much as possible. And so I really like the idea. I found myself acting. I did a lot of Googling of like, wait, how do I get filters? How do I do this? And then I'm realizing different things kind of unlock as you kind of go, but I really like it. I definitely find that I don't have like, I might have all this community in these other places, but it's like Snapchat is very it's smaller, but it's a little closer. So I have a friend Tanner who's just been snapping me like crazy, and he's cracking me up because he's the perfect person to do this. But I'm curious, Tony, do you? I know let's introduce Tony here, but Tony, do you snap?
I don't actually. I don't. I was gonna try and jump in here with something funny or creative, but I've got nothing on the Snapchat.
I've been slow, so don't worry. I've been slow to it. Like I literally in the last like 7 days, Nils knows it. Like I just started to snap, and I find it addicting. Like it is. Really? Isn't it, Nils?
I would say it's so fun to watch. And if I had hair like Sean Cannell does, I'd probably snap all day too. That guy's got the best Snapchat hair.
Brady Shear, whatever. How do you say? But I'm gonna. He's Canadian, so it really doesn't matter how I pronounce it. But he's like always working out, and I want to like. He's like working out to something, and I'm like, dude, like I don't know. He snapped his wife in something. I'm like, I would get slapped by my wife if I did that. Yeah. But regardless of the fact. Anyways.
It's okay on Snapchat for some reason.
It's okay. Nils, why don't you introduce Tony?
Here we go. So we have our new friend, Tony Caudill. You got to help me.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Caudill, you're good, Caudill, man. No worries. Yep.
Very good. So from Kansas City, Missouri, joining us from Aware 3. We're going to be talking mobile today. Tony, will you share a little bit about your background, your story, Aware 3, and what you're doing, and maybe a little bit about mobile and what drew you into the mobile world?
Man, yeah, totally happy to. Thanks for having me on, guys. Honor to be here, just kind of chatting with you today, so appreciate it. So quick on background, I guess. So based out of Kansas City, KC boy through and through, go Royals. We had a really fun 2015, which was awesome. 30 years in the making. So
thanks for knocking out my Strohs, by the way. I appreciate you starting the podcast.
Thanks for knocking out the Angels last year. So anyways,
there you go. No problem. Our pleasure. Started Aware 3 in 2013, and my career actually started at a company called Accenture, which is, if you're not familiar with, it's a high-tech consulting firm. I worked there for 13 years and had this just awesome experience, and I mean, like, you know, there's a whole story behind this, but the quick version of it is you know, was working in mobile, got to know mobile really well, was helping companies grow through mobile, and just kind of said, like, there's a bigger application of what we're doing here, but for the church. And so kind of went to my own church leadership and said, hey, I've been thinking about this stuff anyway. Like, you know, I squirm every time I walk in the doors and you're handing me a paper bulletin, and you're still passing a plate for generosity like you were, you know, 25 years ago. Like, all the things that they're all so cliche at this point, but all the things that we're all saying, like, this has to change. You're not connecting with me the way that I connect with everything else in my life. And so I just really had one of those, like, I feel like there's a deeper calling here to go take what I've learned, take my skills, and apply them in the, you know, for the church, to serve the church. And so I did that. Myself, my co-founder, Joe Terry, started all this in 2013. And it's just been this, like, crazy ride over the past, you know, a little over 2 years now of, you know, we all started in one church here in Kansas City. Now we're serving several hundred across the U.S. We've got several in Canada. We've got a couple in South Africa. We've got some in the U.K. I mean, it's just been this amazing, awesome story. So lots of fun along the way. You know, a lot of hard knocks along the way. I mean, it's just a lot of fun and hard all at the same time.
So I would love to hear, and I feel like people watch Shark Tank and they have this fantasy of what the startup world is like.
Yeah.
You just go and there's like all this money out there.
Yeah. It just rains, cool, man.
And you,
just
work
rain.
And you work in these cool little, you know, warehouse studio offices.
Brick behind you.
I see the brick behind you. What's it really like under the curtain? So you worked in probably, you know, a pretty fun, dynamic corporate environment, and then startup world. What's it really like behind the curtain?
It's mind blowing. I mean, I always tell everybody, like, I loved my job at Accenture. It was a great gig. Like, I can't say enough great things about it. When I went and told my boss the day I was leaving, I can't even quote what he told me. There were some pretty bad things said about how stupid I was about what I was doing. And, you know, one of the things I just kept hearing from everybody is, like, are you ready for this roller coaster, right? Oh, it's a roller coaster. It's a roller coaster. And candidly, like, it kind of offended me, like, when people said that, because, like, working at Accenture is an extremely difficult job. Mm-hmm. Like, I left Kansas City every Monday at 6 a.m. I hopped on a plane and I came back to my family at, you know, 10 p.m. on Thursdays every week for 13 years. It's a very stressful job. And so when people are like, oh, are you ready for the roller coaster? Like I said, it kind of offended me because I was like, man, I've been doing what I consider one of the hardest jobs out there for a long time. Of course I'm ready for the roller coaster.
Yeah.
I was wrong. Like, I mean, I'm the first to say it, like, the roller coaster that you have, the highs of highs and you have the lows of lows. And that can all happen within an hour, you know? Wow. I mean, it is amazing. Just the, you know, just, yeah, I mean, and it's just kind of dealing with that. And, you have to go with it. You know, you have to have faith that what you're doing is going to work. And some days that's easy and some days that's hard, of course. Yeah. But yeah, it is not all Shark Tank. Trust me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hours, so, a lot of stress.
What was the moment that maybe was there a God moment where you just felt like, this is clarity that God is calling me out of this and into creating this technology for the church? Because even from a business perspective, you don't go into the church space to get rich, you know?
Yeah, no, totally.
And so it's a calling, you know, even though it's a for-profit business that you're running, there's no doubt that you could probably create the same technology, repurpose for something else. And money. What was that calling for you?
Yeah, man, we get this question all the time of just, like, you know, people who don't understand the space and they're just like, of all of the things, so fine, you left this great job, that's great. But of all the things you could have gone and done, why in the world did you pick a space where there's no money? Right. Like, you know, it's not this super sexy thing that everybody wants to hear about. And it really does boil down to that. It's like, it's a deeper thing to me, right? Yeah. Of, you know, for me personally, like, I think just with my own personality, I felt like I could probably never work in a church per se. Like, one of the questions that we get all the time is like, well, are you a pastor? And I'm not, right? But I actually think that's a big strength to our company, is that we kind of come at it from a unique perspective, in that we're not pastors, but what we are is, the church has played a very significant role in my life. I've been going my entire life. I'm an active member in my own church. And so we set out to solve a problem that I was having. right? And I think that is a huge strength of ours, of just like, yeah, we're not pastors, but we're not solving a pastor's problem per se. We're solving the members' problems on how do we keep them connected to that, to the church. So yeah, and I think my honest answer of like, was there sort of this, you know, this one moment that happened? There really wasn't for me. I would love nothing more than to say I had this like epiphany, you know, one day, this one moment where it all like went, yes, go do this. I don't have that story. For me, it really did kind of play out over, frankly, months of, you know, like we started this while still at Accenture of like, okay, let's go try this at my church and let's see how this goes. And then our church kind of started saying, hey, this is working. And they told other churches, and it started just kind of organically growing a little bit. And over the course of several months, it just got to a point of like the data, like I say data all the time because I'm a huge data nerd. But the data just started saying like, hey, this is working. And then you get to this point of like, okay, so we're on to something, but how much do I believe in what, like, am I really going to go leave this job I've been at for 13 years with a wife, with a mortgage, with a new kid, all those things. And that for me personally was something that took months of, you know, prayer and reflection and all those things. It wasn't I wish I woke up one morning and was just like, yes, go, but it didn't happen.
Well, and thank you for just being honest and sharing. That's such a great, thanks Nils for asking that. Cause I'm cool on that stuff. Asking about, you know, you've been in this now working with churches and you have this with not churches experience as well. What are you noticing at least in the last 2 to 3 years with mobile and some trends and so forth? Because how has that changed? Because obviously 3 years ago they said mobile. Well, now it's here. What's happened in the last couple of years with mobile?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is like, you're right. Like we're all getting beat over the head. Mobile. I got it. When mobile, you know, over the past few years, like I think one of the biggest shifts is that we've all had this thing in our back pocket for quite a while now, but really up until the past 12, 24 months, like it was kind of a one size fits all utility. Right? Like we were all going into it and we were getting on the web through it. And, you know, we were kind of just doing very vanilla type functions with it. I think the big evolution that's happening now is that like this thing knows me right at this point. I can fire up Siri. She literally calls me by name, which still creeps me out. But like, you know, I go in to pay for something. It has my credit card information. I can put my thumbprint on this thing, right? When I pay for something, I can go to Starbucks. It knows what I drink. You know what I mean? Like it really has become this true personal device of it tailors my experience for me based off of how I use it, where I physically am. This morning I had a meeting across town and I'm in the bathroom getting ready, right? And like I get a message on my phone that says, hey, traffic, there's been an accident on the highway. It knows that I'm at home. It knows where I'm supposed to be going for my meeting. And it's alerted me that I need to leave a little early because there's traffic. So, I mean, it's crazy, right? And I think that over the past couple of years, that's been the big evolution of kind of moving from this one size fits all utility, which is great, good start, to this, like, this is my personal assistant. Mm-hmm. It knows me. So,
wow. So, no, go, Nils, go.
Well, and I was just saying, and maybe taking a step back to even understanding the various options that are out there for churches when it comes, because you hear mobile and you hear mobile apps, mobile websites, mobile web apps, mobile native apps. Mm-hmm. Maybe even just give us a little definition of the differences for church leaders when they hear the term mobile. Totally. What does that mean? Or mobile app or mobile web? What are those terms?
Yeah, this is something we talk a lot about, but one of the things that we're really finding, especially over the past couple of years, and let's kind of start on the website side, right? Like all churches have a website today, of course. Important thing to have, clearly. But what the data is consistently showing at this point is that really websites are becoming more of a just discovery tool, right? And even in my own personal life, I can't even tell you the last time I went to my church's website because I just don't. But what we're kind of finding is it's still being used as in, hey, you know, I've heard about you. I'm thinking about going. I'm going to do a little research before I show up. Or maybe I've gone once or twice. I kind of want to do a little deeper digging before I, you know, kind of take that next step. So that's really kind of the function of websites. And of course, that's an important thing to have. Where we really kind of get involved and say is like, okay, well, so on the mobile front, somebody has been to your church. They want to get more engaged. That's where the mobile side really fits in. Mobile websites, good thing to do, great thing to have. Your site should be responsive, all of those things. But it almost kind of fits back into that website. It really is kind of more of a discovery function. What our focus really on is like, how do we take that person who knows you? They're not really going to discover about you, but they just want to take and engage with you in a deeper level, right? Great example of like, I need to fill out a connection card. I walk in every Sunday. The church is saying, hey, we'd love for you to fill out a connection card. There's a paper one in your bulletin. But now I just go into the app. I get a little push message when I walk in. It says, hey, Tony, we see you guys are here. Can we go ahead and like fill in the connection card for you, right? And I submit it and it's done. So we're just really trying to kind of take those things that we do and make them, you know, much more streamlined. So does that help?
No, that's perfect. And I was curious about that. Like when you're talking to a church and from what you guys offer, what's the pros and cons of a native versus a responsive site? Because I feel like now, you know, for the most part, you know, there's templates and stuff that people could do responsive, but I don't think people really fully understand the idea of really the power behind native versus like, what is the difference in all reality?
Yeah, so I would offer up three of them actually. So number one is, and this is the most simple one, the most basic, but having that home screen real estate is so crucial. So getting that app on their, that app icon on their home screen so that it's that constant reminder, can't say enough about the importance of it, right? So it's a simple one, but a really important one. That's number one. Two, I would say, is just like leveraging the features of the actual phone itself. So for example, when we launch a branded mobile app for our churches, we have features that, for example, leverage the camera on the phone. So like we have a check-in feature where they can take a selfie and just kind of make it personal and, you know, more interactive. We leverage the native mapping features on the phone. We leverage, you know, their social media connections and things like that. So, you know, for us, it's all about, you know, kind of making sure we're leveraging, you know, all the things that this can do. And in a lot of cases, you can't do that, just through a mobile website. One important example that I missed is like push messaging. So one of our most popular features and one of the most powerful things you can do with a mobile app is the fact that you can send out push messages. So I can send a message out to everyone that's downloaded the app. You know, maybe, you know, Niels, in your case, you guys are having some bad weather today. You're trying to get that message out, like, hey, we're delaying services. You can do that now through the app, right? Or you can even do it like as people physically walk into the building. A ton of our churches do that. Like you can set up a geofenced message that as I walk in, I get a specific message sent. So that's sort of the second one is it's important to have an app because we can do things with the native features of this phone that you can't do through a mobile website, responsive website. And then the last one I would just say is speed, right? When you do it through an app, the performance of it is much snappier. It's much better. You're not as reliant on a quality wireless connection as you are if you're just running, you know, a responsive website.
So. It's weird because I find myself that I think at first because I have this approach kind of just the way I work with the way I organize things to my computer and everything. I kind of want simplified, and so because of that, I think when I first got an iPhone, I remember I found myself. Okay, I wanted to download all these things and then I wanted to consolidate. But yeah. I've kind of gone back to what are the things I really use. So I remember there's one just as a personal example. I remember, I go to Mashable a lot. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, if you haven't visited Mashable, I would, you know, suggest it's something we talk about a lot. It's just different social media stuff going on. And I remember I was always going to I had their website bookmarked. Mm-hmm. And I would go in within Chrome and I use Chrome from my desktop to my mobile so I can save my stuff. Vice versa. And I remember I just didn't like the experience. And I remember I went back and I downloaded the app. And now all I use is the app. And I found myself because it is snappier, it is quicker, there's more features, it knows me, and I found myself more connected. And I think churches, that's, you know, there is that, they're not leveraging a lot of those things. That's where, you know, Aware3 or somebody like that could come in and help and give that. And that's what I love that. I know that even I think about some of the things my church is doing. It's like, man, you know, I wish we were leveraging this way more because that makes so much sense. So I hope somebody at my church is listening. with that, I was curious, talk a little bit about mobile and giving. What are some things that you're saying? I know you guys do some things that help in that area. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. Like we never started, like when we started OR3, you know, a little over 2 years ago, we had no intention of ever getting into the giving space. Mm-hmm. Not really the heart of what we do, not really our passion. We kind of got pulled into it. And the way we got pulled into it was like, we were launching all these apps for churches and the feedback we were consistently getting is like, hey, I'm going into this app several times a week. I'm watching videos. I'm listening to sermons. I'm registering my son for vacation Bible school. I'm doing all these things in there. It's kind of become my one-stop shop, like my one must-have app for the church, with one exception. I can't give through it, right? And so we kind of got pulled into the giving side, to be really candid about it. So we trial and erred a lot on the giving side. This is a space where we're really upfront, like, we missed the mark a few times and we're finally onto something that's driving like crazy results. But you know, what we were really passionate about is once we did introduce giving is that we didn't want it to be the first time every time, right? Like we're really passionate that like we owe it to these people who have gone into the app and they gave, that we now know that person. So treat them differently when they come back in the next time to give. So things like store their information, don't ask them to log in, they're on their own personal device. Like make that giving process as easy as possible and don't make it the first time every time. And so really truly the power of our giving feature is the fact that it's inside of our app, right? It's not, you're not downloading somebody else's app. It's, and our data, again, back to the data, backs this up. Like our data consistently shows folks are going into the app and giving is typically the third or fourth button that gets hit. It's rarely the first button, which tells us, hey, these people are going in to connect and engage. They're doing all sorts of things in there. And then when we do that well, when we connect and engage them really well, we know that it'll have an impact on giving, but we don't lead with giving because the church is about so much more than giving, right? Yeah. So that's really a key component to our philosophy.
So one of the areas, Tony, that you guys and I've seen are really getting into is the text to give function. LifeChurch has been talking about that a lot over the last year.
Yeah.
I got into it maybe 5 years ago when, you know, they had like the disaster relief stuff and everybody text to get $5. But I'll tell you, my experience then was not good. You know, we tried it. People didn't like it being connected to their phone bills necessarily. Mm-hmm. It was early on. I think I spent like 36 hours in training and then got bucks in return.
Yeah,
it's a different world now, you know? Yeah. So that was 5 years ago. Tell us a little bit about text to give, what you're seeing, what what is that process? How does that even work?
Yeah. So let's start with how it works. It's pretty traditional text giving. There's only so many ways you can slice and dice text giving, right? Mm-hmm. But the way it works is we issue the church a phone number. So you have a dedicated phone number for your church. They can text the word give to it. And then we walk them through a traditional true text giving flow. So what's been really interesting about it for us is that the way we have designed it is that not only is it text giving, and text giving will drive results. Like some of our churches are using it and they're using it really well and they're getting some nice volume out of it. But we also use text giving as an on-ramp to their mobile app. And the reason that's so important to us is what we found is we launch an app for this church, for Vineyard Church, for example. And they announce that they have it. You'll get a good chunk of people who will download it right out of the gate. It's like, yeah, that's the thing I've been waiting for. They go download it, all good.
Yep.
Other people, not ready to go there right out of the gate, right? They need a little time to kind of get there. And so what we do is we kind of say, well, that's fine. Let's meet that person where they're at because, you know, maybe Niels, you're a texter, right? You're in that demographic. You're used to doing that. So let's allow them to give through text. When they complete that transaction, we send them a link to their receipt, and we also encourage them to take a next step with the church by downloading their mobile app. And then we give them a link to do it. So we tie it all together, use text to give as an on-ramp to that mobile app. And that's really where kind of the power of it happens because, you know, like what, again, back to the data, like text giving is a good thing to do. It will drive volume. Candidly, the amount of giving we see happening through text as compared to our mobile apps is that there's not really a comparison. I mean, our mobile apps are just driving significantly more traffic. And again, the idea there is because that's where we're connecting, engaging. Lead with connect and engagement. And there's only so much connecting and engaging you can do through text. Like it's yeah. kind of impersonal. It's kind of transactional. That said, I do it all the time in my own life. I give to my own church through it because it's so fast and it's so easy.
Interesting. So
I do it because it is yeah. convenient, but really, you know, we find that, you know, the real places with that real goal is to get that app on their phone because yeah. that's where we can, you know, do more targeted things for them that will drive. Yeah.
So it's an on-ramp for churches. On-ramp. And so it's good to have the whole ecosystem, but understand this isn't where you're going to land. It's where you're going to help get people
yep.
started.
Yep. Yeah. And maybe, you know, maybe it takes them 6 months and they give through text for 6 months. That's great. Let's meet them there, but let's keep trying to get that app on their phone because of all the things that we talked about. So, but yeah, I always try not to say ecosystem because I cringe a little bit every time I say it. Like my old corporate life, like comes lazing back into my mind. But it is the word, right? That is the word. It's an ecosystem where it all ties together. It all communicates with the goal being to get them back to that church, to my church's app where they're doing all that stuff.
I have a quick question. Where do you go for inspiration? Like websites, people you follow, what are some things that you're looking at maybe weekly?
Yeah. I kind of have two answers to that. So I sort of have the geek side of me, the tech side, right? And my like go-to, the person that I just get constantly blown away by is Jeff Bezos yeah. from Amazon. I mean, his personal life aside, whatever. But just like following that guy's brain and what he does is amazing. Like anybody out there who can just like take an industry like retail or shopping, like he has done and just totally flip it on its head like he has done is pretty cool to watch. And so I follow him pretty close because he's a really interesting cat. I mean, now he has like, you know, a rocket company. Who doesn't want that? Yeah. he's doing just all this crazy stuff. So I follow him pretty close from a tech perspective. On, you know, kind of the other side of that, like I actually think one of the hardest things for me is after kind of you know, taking this leap and doing all that we've done is like finding people at a personal level that you can follow and say, hey, doing what we're doing is really hard, right? It's really stressful. And you know, you're making big decisions every day and like finding people that have been in those shoes that you respect of like one thing that I'm personally always, you know, trying to figure out just work-life balance. I'm awful at it. I'm the worst at it. And so I'm always kind of looking for, you know, guys that been there, done that. You can kind of latch onto and respect how they get that balance in their life. And so I've got a couple guys that, you know, just in my own personal life that, you know, I try to get with once a quarter or so and just they challenge me like, hey man, you know, how's the relationship with your wife? Right? Like, are you spending time with her? And, you know, don't let things get out of balance because that all goes to a bad place. So that finding cool guys to follow on the tech side is fairly easy because there's many people out there doing cool stuff. But the challenge is finding, you know, guys who or gals who, you know, they think like you and they've struggled with some of the things that you're struggling with from a balance perspective and all the weight of the stuff that you're doing. So, yeah.
So I've got about 200 questions I want to ask you, Tony. So
yeah. Sorry.
No, this is good. You each question is wanting me to ask.
I know. Seriously. I'm like, we're hitting up on our 30 minutes here.
We're going to have multiple shows. I got to ask you another question. That's not on our script of what we talked about.
That's okay. Yeah.
What are your top five apps on your phone? Are you an iPhone or Android user?
Oh man. And are you kidding me?
I feel like I know, but I feel like I got to ask the question. And then what are your top five apps you're using?
Woo. That's good. So iPhone,
good. Okay.
Interesting stat.
You don't need to explain it. I mean,
interesting stat. Of all of the traffic that we see across all of our apps, I think the latest number was like 74% of the traffic that we see is happening on iPhones. It's just not even. Sorry, Android users. We love you. We support you. It's all good.
They're probably eating like an ice cream sandwich somewhere.
So. Probably.
that's North America, right? I mean, North America is
it is.
And then you see kind of outside of North yep. America is where you see the big Android.
Different beast. Yes, yeah. Totally true. So back to my app. So, I have pretty kind of the standard. I'm a Facebook lurker. I'm not a very good Facebook poster, but I certainly do my own fair share there. I actually use Twitter way more than I use Facebook. Oddly enough, like that's sort of where I get my news and my updates.
Yeah.
I use Uber a fair amount. I freaking love Uber. I think it's so cool what it does. So I'm a big fan there. What's another one that I have a lot of kids apps right now too, because I have a 3-year-old son.
Blame it on your kids.
Exactly. Something wrong with Elmo. So I have a fair amount of that. That's about it, man. I kind of stick with some of the social media stuff, the Uber stuff. I'm sure this is like one of those all. Get off here and be like, wow, I use this all the time. Why didn't I say that?
Yeah. My kids hate my phone because I don't have that many games, and my wife's phone has like all the games. And so like we play the game, like I think every parent, where like if your kids are falling asleep in the car, you're trying to keep them awake for nap time.
Yes.
And so we like throw watch this, don't fall asleep, because you're going to mess up your whole phone. And so, but my phone literally, I have to download, I have one like skateboarding game, like one of the, like a touch of the ones that came out with like the original iPhone, but I love that. But I have this might be our last question. If not, Niels can add.
That's last question right here.
You can end this out, Niels. But my question is, Tony, with Aware3, everything you're doing, if I'm a church of 800 to 1200 or even small, whatever that is, what is the best way for us for the church? If we came to what's the best way to just start a relationship with Aware3?
So we do demos, and our demos really, and so many companies say this, but if you talk to any of our church partners, they would back me on this. Your first meeting with us is a 30-minute discussion. It's a true consultative. Let's talk about where you're at. Tell us about what you're trying to solve with mobile. Because some people come to us and they go, I don't even know. We just keep hearing mobile and we feel like we have to do something. And it's like, let's go a little deeper there. Like we're really big on right fitting their situation on what do we think the appetite is for members. Of course, budget stuff, but really like let's right fit the situation. So yeah, that first interaction, like frankly, is a lot more of the church talking to us than we're talking to the church, because we want to hear where they're struggling. And we have some churches who we just say, look, we don't think we're a good fit. Right. And we're happy to point you other directions. Like for example, if they're just 100% about giving, and that's all they're really after with mobile, more often than not, we'll actually kind of point them in a different direction, because we believe that it's much more than that, right? That first meeting is very much just actually us asking questions and listening and figuring out if we can help and how.
Great. I've got a final thought, but Tony, before I share that, how can people connect with you? How can they find out more about Aware3?
Yeah, definitely our website, obviously is a good starting point. You can follow me on Twitter at Tony Caudill or Aware3 at Aware3, and it's actually spelled out T-H-R-E-E. Those are good spots. Our blog, we post a lot. We're really big on content and like sharing our thought processes, so definitely check out the blog as well.
Good. Well, Tony, I appreciate the work you're doing. I appreciate the investment you're making into the church and creating great technology for the church. And I know the God's got great things ahead for your company. And I want to encourage all of our listeners to go and check out the site, learn more, follow Tony on Twitter. I want to share my thoughts. We at CBC have had a mobile app for about 3 years, learning a lot. And my belief is that we are only getting started. I hear a lot of people say that, well, you can do that now on a mobile website. You can do that more, through a web application. And I just don't think that's the trend of where this is all going. I think you can do more, but I think you can still do even more within a native app. I think that's where the church is going. I think you need to pay attention to it. I think Tony will tell you there are other options out there. I think Aware3 is creating great technology, and we need, as a church, we need great technology, and we need great companies that are going to keep creating great technology, that aren't going to stop and just be content with where they are and the technology. They're going to keep driving it and finding new ways, just like Tony shared with the giving function, that they weren't planning on going that direction, but they saw the need for the church. And so I hope more companies will do what Aware3 is doing. More leaders will take the initiative, like Tony, is taking. And I hope church leaders will really pay attention to these trends and really see the opportunity. And I think, you know, practically we don't like talking about giving a ton, but obviously that's a big part of the discipleship process. And we as church leaders too often don't prioritize it. Because we almost think we're doing something wrong when we're talking about money, but it, as a part of the discipleship process, I'm on a real tangent here. But I think that we have to prioritize, and it just shouldn't be hard to give. You know, and you look at Amazon doesn't make it hard for you to buy things. It's not hard for us to spend money everywhere else in life. Yet at church, we often make it hard for people to give. And I really think that there's technology out there that can make it easier for churches to allow their church members to give and be a part of that discipleship process through giving and creating a great experience in that and being intentional about it. So I'm pumped about where three is going, pumped about where a lot of technology is going. And so I hope you guys are paying attention to the text to give, the mobile app giving, and all of these exciting trends. Mobile is only going to increase the possibilities. You know, we're getting into beacons right now at CVC. The mapping functionality. There's just so many possibilities here. So don't stop. And even if you get a mobile app, don't think that you're done. You've just started. This trend is only going to grow. So I'm pumped about it. I'm pumped about Tony and Aware 3 and this conversation. So thanks for listening. We will see you next week, or talk to you next week, I guess. We won't see you. Well, you know what? I will. You know, I'm really, man, we really go on these things. Sign up at socialmedia.church and join us live for our next podcast. You can now join us live on Friday afternoons or Friday mornings, depending on what coast you're on, live to listen to our podcast. Go to socialmedia.church to do that and to check out the show notes. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.